So next year, what do you plan? Well, you can't count on the weather.
Yeah, you can't count on the weather. So next year we're gonna do less of the warm crops, and we're gonna plant more of the greens. Count on those lasting longer. What I did is I planted greens enough to get me through like mid June, and then I had a whole bunch of warmer crops that I thought would come up between, you know, early July and end of July, and instead, you know, those didn't start coming into harvest until like August, so I had to keep those greens going a lot longer than I should have, and that's it meant that I had revenue a lot less than I thought. That was unfortunate. So yeah. So this next year I think we'll plan on, you know, we'll still put in warm crops, but we'll not rely on them like we did this year, and we'll.
Do you have anything that predicts that far forward that indicates that's the way you should approach it, or is that just what you'd call an adaptive approach?
I think it's an adaptive approach. Right. I mean, you look at the Farmer's Almanac for Seattle, and they were pretty off some months, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I think they said that that we were supposed to have, I can't remember if it was May or June, they said it was supposed to be really dry, and neither of those months were really dry.
Yeah, I kind of remember that now.
Yeah, there was kind of an uproar. The Farmer's Almanac was wrong, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, doing crop planning for next year, we are planning on planting a lot more crops, and we're, like, radishes did great this summer.
Oh, so if you plant for cooler weather, even if it's warmer, will those crops do well?
Well, what would happen is... for example, like spinach, I'll put in spinach. This year I actually put in spinach when it stayed cold. I put it in later than I should have, and I got a couple of harvests out of it, and then it bolted. So that's mostly what will happen, is the plants will try to go to seed faster. The same with the lettuce and the cilantro and the kale and those kind of things. So it just means that if we do end up having great weather next year, I'll just have a whole bunch of excess produce, you know, mid-June and early July that I'd have to get rid of. But, yeah, you know, that's a much preferable problem to not having anything.
So you felt like there were times this year when you didn't have anything?
Oh, I know there were weeks when I didn't have anything.
And you anticipated having something most of the summer?
Yeah.
But even though this was your first season, you thought that might be the case.
Yes, I thought I'd planted... Well, I mean, you know, I've grown a garden in Seattle now for 3 years, and I there for four, 3 years prior to this summer, and I grew up gardening in Portland, so I know how you're supposed to like time the crops so that one ends right when the next one starts, and you pull out that first crop and you plant your third crop, and yeah.
I didn't realize that you grew up in Portland.
Yeah, I did.
Ah.
Yeah, so
what part?
I grew up on the west side, in rural Washington County. We had a hobby farm. It wasn't a town.
My sister lives over there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm closest to Beaverton and Hillsborough, like right in between the two.
Oh, yeah. That's where I got the eggs.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful area still.
It's a gorgeous area, but it's gone way suburban. It didn't used to be like that.
It's really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't even buy farmland there.
Intel did that. That's all thanks to Intel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible what they're doing, this new factory that they're building.
Yeah.
You know, for this... It's totally the opposite direction. I mean, they're just sticking it right in the middle of some flat land.
Well, they if you look at all of theirs, I mean, they have Jones Farm, Rondler Acres. Mm-hmm. I mean, you listen to the names of the Intel plants, those are farms that they bought and built factories on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was growing up, we grew up on 2 acres, and on the backside of us, we had a 90-acre cow and wheat ranch. And he would use the manure from the cows to fertilize his wheat. I mean, he was organic gardening before I knew what organic gardening was. I mean, it was organic farming. It was big. And then we had 40 acres to the south of us that was owl apple orchards. And then up above us was kind of like an abandoned 5-acre plot that had just gotten... That was just beyond the control of the owners. And then there was like a turkey farm, and there was all this farmland around us, and it's all houses now.
Yeah.
All of it. Even the property I grew up on has been converted to houses.
So when was that? What decade?
That was in the 90s is when things started
Yeah. That, I went through the same thing.
It was when the Intel boom.
Boston,
yeah. It was the Intel boom.
Yeah. It just happened differently here.
Yeah.
You know, the East Coast used to be more populated. I think a lot of the population's here now. A lot more of it's here now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So could you tell me again how many people are in the Harvest Collective and how it's going to change from this year to next year?
Well, Harvest Collective is pretty loose this year. I think there's like 7 or 8 of us, but there's like no official membership. We're hoping to get that going to actually, you know, form a corporation, a cooperative, and, you know, have a membership and then, you know, sell through there. It's just that we spent a lot more time talking, and then all of a sudden the summer hit and everybody, you know, we're all a bunch of farmers. Summer is the worst time to try to actually do anything.
Yeah,
so
right.
we put plans on hold until the fall. So we should be starting up and actually getting that going. But we're looking to create a branding campaign for Seattle. So a grown in Seattle branding campaign that we can use. And then we had one farm stand this year at Mara Farm in South Park, and we're hoping to expand to a couple of other farm stands. We might have done that this year, except that everybody was hit with this no produce thing, and so all of us have been struggling just to have produce.
Oh,
period.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we didn't have the excess produce that we've had in previous years.
Uh-huh.
And then one member has a CSA already, and I'm looking to actually start my own CSA as well this next year. So so we'll have two, but they're small CSAs. His is 20 people. Mine won't be any more than 10.
That's great.
Yeah. And then
get in touch with me.
Yeah. And we have another member who has a CSA, Nicole Capizzi. She's got Amaranth Farm, and she's over in Rainier Beach area, and she's got, I want to say she has 28 CSA customers. So we're all very, very small compared to, like, you know, the smallest farmer at the farmer's market, their CSA might be 50, 60 people.
Yeah. Well, I remember.